VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Anna Mateo and Dan Friedel present the Health and Lifestyle Report. They look at why sales are low for a new Alzheimer's drug. Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the Lesson of the Day. But first, music star Madonna just performed her biggest ever concert in Brazil. Katie Weaver has this story.
American pop music star Madonna performed before an estimated 1.6 million people on Saturday at Brazil's famous Copacabana Beach. The outdoor show in Rio de Janeiro was free to attend. The fans turned a long stretch of the coast into a huge dance floor for the last show of Madonna's Celebration Tour. The series began last October in London. The so-called Queen of Pop began Saturday's show with her 1998 song, Nothing Really Matters. Huge cheers rose from the crowd pressed up against the barriers. Other attendees held parties in houses and hotels overlooking the beach. Helicopters and drones flew overhead, and boats floated on the water nearby. Here we are in the most beautiful place in the world, the 65-year-old Madonna told the crowd, pointing out the ocean, the mountains, and the Christ the Redeemer statue overlooking the city. She added, "This place is magic." Madonna performed her popular songs, including Like a Virgin and Hung Up. For the introduction to another, Like a Prayer, Madonna covered her head in black cloth and held a rosary. The star honored those who died of AIDS with the song Live to Tell. Large black and white images of the disease's victims appeared behind her as she sang. Later, she was joined on stage by Brazilian artists Anita and Pablo Vittar. Rio City officials estimated that 1.6 million people attended the show. Madonna's official website called the show the biggest ever in her 40-year career. "Since Madonna arrived here, I've been coming every day with this outfit to welcome my idol, my diva, my pop queen," said 69-year-old retiree Rosemary de Oliveira Borer. She wore a gold-colored top and a black cap in a style that Madonna made popular. 18 sound towers were spread along the beach to ensure that all attendees could hear the performance. Fan Alessandro Augusto flew about 2,500 kilometers from Brazil's Ceará state to Rio to attend the show. Augusto said, "It's a unique opportunity to see Madonna. Who knows if she'll ever come back?" "Welcome, Queen," a drink company announced with advertising around the city. Bars and restaurants prepared special alcoholic drinks named after Madonna songs. A shop known for selling carnival clothing temporarily became a Madonna clothing store. Several huge concerts have taken place on Copacabana Beach before, including musician Rod Stewart's 1994 show. It took place on New Year's Eve as part of the city's holiday celebration. About 4 million people attended. However, not all necessarily took in the music show. And in 2006, a Rolling Stones concert drew 1.2 million people onto the famed beach, the newspaper Folha de São Paulo reported at the time. Madonna fan Ana Beatriz Soares attended the show Saturday. She said Madonna has made her mark across the years. Madonna had to run so that today's pop artists could walk. That's why she's important, because she serves as an inspiration for today's pop divas, she said. And that's 40 years ago. Not 40 days, 40 months. It's 40 years, she added. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Alzheimer's disease affects a person's memory, thinking, and behavior. The first drug shown to slow the effects of Alzheimer's disease reached the market in the United States over a year ago. However, sales of the drug Leqembi have been slow. Major hospital systems in the U.S. have taken months to start using the new Alzheimer's drug. Some health insurers have rejected paying for the medication. And doctors say they expect some patients will be slow to take Leqembi because of the drug's limited results, and possible side effects. Doctors say it will take years to learn how best to use the drug. They add that work must be done to improve the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Dr. Ambar Kulreshtra specializes in treating dementia near Atlanta, Georgia. He is hopeful about the drug. He said, "This is the start of a very exciting journey." In the U.S., about 6 million Americans suffer from Alzheimer's. There is no cure for the disease. But studies show Leqembi helps clear a kind of protein that builds up in the brain, called beta amyloid. Beta amyloid is considered an important sign of Alzheimer's.
Studies showed that Leqembi can delay the progression of the disease by a few months in people with mild symptoms. Some experts say the delay may be too small for patients to notice. The drug's side effects can include swelling or bleeding in the brain. Patients taking Leqembi require regular tests to watch for possible side effects. Last July, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration gave Leqembi full approval for patients with early stages of the disease. The U.S. Healthcare Coverage Program for people aged 65 and over, called Medicare, covers Leqembi and the cost of tests needed to diagnose patients. Alexander Scott is an official with Eisai, the Japanese company that makes Leqembi. Scott said hospitals and health systems have needed more time than expected to provide Leqembi. It's not like we are adding a drug to an existing system, he said. He said hospitals need to build a system for the drug.
The Cedars-Sinai Health System in Los Angeles, for example, started administering the drug in early March. This effort required months to establish a plan that dealt with diagnosis, treatment, and watching for problems. We were very careful about it, said Dr. Sarah Kramen, a behavioral neurologist at Cedars-Sinai. The Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, started using Leqembi in October of last year. The health center only uses the drug for patients who live within about 160 kilometers of its offices. This is so doctors can reach them quickly if they have problems. Health systems still do not know how coverage for the drug, its infusions, and the needed tests work. Because the drug can cost more than $26,000 a year, there are concerns patients will face costs they cannot pay. An ASI spokesperson said nearly three-quarters of commercial health care plans in the U.S. cover the drug outside of Medicare. But doctors are concerned that getting coverage still might be difficult for some patients, especially those too young to qualify for Medicare.
Scott Burkheiser is 57 years old and lives in Florida. His health insurance company would not pay for the drug, so his first Leqembi infusion was delayed until last December. He said the drug maker agreed to supply him with the drug at no cost while he made partial insurance payments, known as copayments, for the treatment. It was a little crazy, he said. It seemed like it was kind of a game that must make sense for some monetary reason. Getting treatments started on time remains another problem. When Leqembi launched last year, doctors at Texas Neurology in the city of Dallas tested 60 people as possible candidates for Leqembi. However, only 8 started the treatment. The chief of Texas Neurology, David Evans, said the other candidates either refused the drug or had gone beyond the early stage of the disease. Evans said the period or window when the drug is best to use is very short. Doctors say more must be done to quickly identify patients and get treatment started before the disease worsens. For example, if people say they have trouble with their memory, doctors must rule out other causes.
Dr. Kulrestra said these can include thyroid problems, vitamin deficiencies, medication problems, and depression. Memory tests for dementia can also require several visits to a doctor. Some patients might be ineligible for Leqembi because it would conflict with medication they take to prevent strokes. And patients might have to wait months to see a brain specialist who would prescribe the drug. Those who do get the first infusion have said the treatment process is not difficult. Leqembi patient Burkheiser said his infusions have gone like clockwork after he started treatment. Charles Clegg from Salem, Alabama, recently finished his 13th Leqembi infusion. He visits a treatment center that is close to his home. Clegg and his wife Carol said he has had no side effects, and his short-term memory has improved. "This drug gives you hope," Carol Clegg said. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
You just heard this week's Health and Lifestyle Report from Ana Mateo and Dan Friedel. Ana joins me now to talk more about it. Hi, Ana. Thank you for being here.
Hi there, Ashley. Thanks for having me on your show.
This week's report centered on a drug used to slow the effects of Alzheimer's disease. Can you tell us a bit about how the drug works?
Leqembi clears up a type of protein that builds up in the brain. That protein is called beta amyloid, and it is considered an important sign of Alzheimer's.
In the story, you say patients are slow to take this drug. Why is that?
One reason is that Leqembi has several severe side effects. For example, swelling and bleeding of the brain. So regular visits to a doctor are necessary, and people taking it need to have emergency access to a doctor.
The story also notes a complicated payment process for the costly drug. What are some of the other reasons?
Yes, the drug is costly, and insurers are still unsure how to bill patients for it. But there are other reasons why people are slow to take Leqembi. The benefits are slow to see. Also, there is a small window early on in an Alzheimer's diagnosis when people can benefit from the drug. And for some people, this diagnosis comes too late to take the drug.
All right. Thank you so much for that report, and thank you for joining me on today's show.
Absolutely, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Ana. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Heat waves, or periods of extremely hot temperatures, have forced school closures in parts of Asia and North Africa in recent weeks. In tomorrow's education report, Dan Novak looks at how government officials and public health experts are struggling with whether to keep students in schools that are simply too hot to learn effectively and safely. Listen to tomorrow's program for that report. You can also read Dan's report tomorrow on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
The biggest, the fastest, the youngest, and the oldest.
The most, the least, the worst, and the best.
All of these expressions you've just heard have that small word that is so important in English. In fact, it's the most common word in all of English.
And there it was again. Jill just said, the most common. On today's podcast lesson, we're looking at the word the when we use the superlative. The superlative describes something with the highest degree of a quality.
There it is again. You just said the highest degree. You see, we can't even talk about the superlative without using the word the.
Well, it's pretty hard to avoid using the word the. And I think our listeners probably already know about comparing things in English. For example, the Empire State Building in New York City is taller than the Eiffel Tower in Paris. And the Burj Al Khalifa is the tallest building in the world. We use the suffix er for comparisons, like X is taller than Y.
But what has this got to do with Ana? It seems like we're digressing or getting away from the main topic.
We're almost digressing. But Ana mentions some superlatives when she visits a seafood market in Lesson 30 of the Let's Learn English series. Listen for the superlative in this example. You will hear the superlative used twice.
Hello! Washington, D.C. sits on the Potomac River. This river is important to the history and culture of the city. Today, I am at an outdoor seafood market near the Potomac River. Some say it is the oldest outdoor seafood market in the United States. I am here to buy seafood. Let's see what they have. Excuse me, can you help me?
Sure. What do you need?
Pete!
Ana!
What are you doing here?
I work here. You know, it's not easy to be a writer.
Yeah, I heard that. Sorry.
But this job is great. I work outside by the river, and I can eat all the free seafood I want.
That is great, Pete. In fact, I am here to buy some seafood for my dinner party.
You came to the right place. They have the freshest seafood in town.
Did you hear the superlative in that last sentence?
They have the freshest seafood in town.
And a bit earlier, Ana said,
some say it is the oldest outdoor seafood market in the United States.
The superlative adds the suffix EST to one-syllable adjectives or to two-syllable adjectives that end in the letter Y, like the word happy.
But what about an adjective with many syllables, like the word delicious? We can't say deliciousest. That's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, when the adjective is longer, usually two or more syllables, we just put the two words the most or the least before it. For example, we could say the most delicious or the least expensive. And here's another example with the adjective wonderful. There's a popular song in the U.S. for the Christmas holiday. It's called, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Bum, 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 bum.
Coming back to Anna's visit to the seafood market, a bit later in Lesson 30, we hear this.
The crabs here are delicious. They are the best because they come from the nearby Chesapeake Bay. Walk this way. How many crabs do you want?
I want a dozen crabs.
You should get the larger crabs. They have the most meat.
You could hear the superlatives the best and the most. And if you were listening carefully, you might have noticed something that seems to break the rule of comparisons. Pete uses the word the before the comparative form with the ER suffix.
You should get the larger crabs. They have the most meat.
Normally, we don't use the word the before the adjective in comparisons.
Right. We just say bigger, larger, taller, and so on. So, for example, a simple comparison would be, these crabs are larger than those crabs.
But if we already can see the two choices, and we already know which one is larger, then we identify one group by saying the larger ones.
That's right. The word the is used to identify things, among many other uses. It turns out the word the is quite useful in English.
That's true. There's another word Anna uses that our listeners should notice. It begins with the letter D. Listen.
How many crabs do you want?
I want a dozen crabs.
Pete asks how many. So we know that the word dozen, that's spelled D-O-Z-E-N, is a quantity. A quantity means an amount or a certain number of items. Listeners, do you know how many things are in a dozen? Here's a hint. In the U.S. and other countries, in the grocery store, eggs are often sold by the dozen.
And the answer is? Twelve!
Well, that was quite exciting. But knowing the expression a dozen or dozens can be useful, and not only when shopping for eggs. Many news reports, including those on the Learning English website, use the word dozen or dozens to describe how many things there are.
There's also a well-known movie called Cheaper by the Dozen, based on a book about an American family with 12 children.
And remember that there are dozens of episodes of the Let's Learn English series you can watch to help you learn English. And don't forget, on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com, each episode of Let's Learn English comes with a lesson plan you can download to help you learn more or even teach English to others.
Mm-hmm. And so you can get practice with superlatives, write to us at learningenglish@voanews.com and tell us about something in your town that is the biggest, tallest, oldest, or most interesting thing.
And thank you for listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
and I'm Dan Novak.